Yes.
We'll call the meeting to order. The quorum is present. Representative Eakin moves the minutes from May 11th. Any additions or corrections? Not all those in favor of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Representative Mahoney, so you're first on the agenda. The chair would move the House File 1208. We recommend to pass and refer to the General Registry. And Representative Mahoney is here for some appropriations. There is an amendment in our packet. You want to move have the amendment moved first?
Mr. Chair and Committee, I would ask that someone move the A12 amendment.
Okay. The Chair will move amendment titled H1208A12. Representative Mahoney, want to explain the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee members. This amendment is a fiscal amendment. I will start off with the page 109, line 10, deleting the 90 and inserting 30. What that does is it changes the charge to a restricted master and journeyman plumber. The department gave me a number, and upon further review and investigation, we found that it would really only cost $30 out of the 90. Line 1.3 is an annual transfer for this purpose is enacted more than once in 07. The annual transfer is effective only once. There's the bill has gone through, and as you can see, I think it's on its fourth engrossment, just in case there's something in the bill. And the others, the rest of the amendment, the appropriation reduction, this is offset money. This is the offset money for the general fund by funds going into the construction code fund. It's language that Mr. Marks gave to us. He said that to keep it revenue neutral and keep it in line with the higher ed workforce development bill that we're going to have to rework.
Okay. We have the amendment before us. Any other questions on the amendment? Not all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Representative Mahoney, if you want to explain the bill very quickly on the fiscal aspects of it, that maybe you have already.
Well, in your packet is a stapled sheet, two-sheet page. I have to be honest and tell you I couldn't comprehend the fiscal note, what these numbers are. What this bill does, it increases some fees, a lot of fees in the electrical inspection. That is on the second page. It has the annual charge and the proposed charge and then the change. At the top of the top is the contractor recovery fund, which is a, lack of a better way to put it, it's the last resort for homeowners when their contractor has gone out of business and something is wrong with their home. We, in the bill, we changed it from a $15,000 limit to a $50,000 limit. And much of this is all department language. I will note when it is not. The electrical inspection fees, this is a $5 million increase, more than 85% of it going for fee increases for the inspectors. They're contract inspectors. They have not had a fee increase, a salary wage increase. In almost 9 years, it will be 9 years by the time this goes into effect. These are licensed electricians. They could get a job as a construction electrician. They are now making significantly less than what they should be. The other 15% is for administration, and one of the things that I fought for, which was, and I have to say the department was more than happy to do it, is more education in the electrical area and to put some of this stuff into multiple different languages so that our new immigrants can understand it. Electrical certificate fee form is a decrease of $117,000. That's the third from the bottom. we're going more and more to electronics, electronic applications. They don't have to charge as much when it's done electronically. The electrical and licensing fees, duplicate licensing fee proration, the $19,000 increase covers their costs. And the bottom, new fees, is unlicensed electrical registration. It's the $15 is what it's going to cost. Actually, it's the lowest cost of a license that the electricians or the department does. The restricted plumber's license application has a $90 charge, which we did change it to $30. The elevator operating permit, it was something, you know, you learn something in these bills as you carry them forth. We have not had any kind of ability to pay for escalator inspections. We now do. Mr. Chair, there are, I can stand for questions. That's kind of the dollar figures in this bill.
Questions? Any questions at all? Questions. Members, there, I believe there was at least one, I want to call your attention to the letter from Seaton, Beck, and Peters, in your, that was handed out to you, concerning high pressure piping ratios. Any other questions? Any questions? If not, then the chair would renew his motion that House File 1208, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee members.
Next on the agenda is Representative Leader, House File 562. The chair would move that House File 562 be recommended to pass. Representative Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, House File 562 deals with the Township Silent Roadside Program. And what it does, basically, it provides money for matching monies for federal monies. And the program is such that they townships have to, or not have to, but need to replace their signs, and they have to conform to national standards. And basically, that's what this would provide, to replace, purchase, and bring your sign inventory up to date, and they get federal. Their program is not in effect until they get some matching money.
Questions on the bill? Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me where this general fund money, what target this is coming from?
Representative Holbrook, yes, it was included in the transportation target.
Mr. Chair, was this program included in the transportation bill?
Yes. Other questions? If not, the chair then would remove his motion that House File 562 be recommended to pass and placed on the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, the next one we're going to go down to is House File 464. Representative Surge. And there is an amendment. Let me, if I can have the pages. Representative Surdich, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 464 be passed and sent to the General Register.
Representative Surdich moves that House File 464 be recommended to pass and placed in the General Register. And Representative Surdich, there is an amendment. H0464A33. Do you have that amendment?
Mr. Chair, I certainly do.
And I don't know if all members have it yet. Let's wait until all members get that. Okay. And we also have a revenue estimate on this as well. I want members to have that as well. And we just got that a few minutes ago. That's why it's not in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
all members have the amendment? I believe it's A33. Is that correct? Did I give you the right amendment now?
Yes. Okay. More copies of this, too. Is this the reason for more copies? Just for the public?
Maybe. I have more copies of A33 in case the public needs it. Representative Surge, you want to move?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A33 amendment and be happy to explain it.
Representative Surge moves the amendment titled H0464 A33. Representative Surge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. In the Tax Committee, we had discussion on the revenue estimate for this bill, and the revenue estimate was not done, and it was literally done within the last 3 hours, and I really want to thank the Department of Revenue and staff that have worked this out. It looks like there is potentially a cost in the revenue estimate. The A33 amendment has been developed by our fiscal staff to make sure that the cost to MCHA and the tax effect is revenue neutral, and this would study the effect of the pool of the and then make sure it's revenue neutral. If you want more detail than that, that was my direction to our fiscal staff. If you want more detail, perhaps Mr. Marks could explain it in more detail.
Yeah, let's let Mr. Marks give an explanation. Mr. Marks? Well, Mr. Michael.
Thomas?
Yeah, or Tom Pender, one of the two. Or Dr. Wilson or somebody. Mr. Michaels, can you identify yourself for the tape, please?
Mr. Chairman, Joel Michael from House Research. I think Representative Sturdy did a good job of explaining what this does. Essentially, what it requires the board to have an actuarial study done that would estimate essentially the effect of the creation and operation of the pool for 2 years on both the MCHA assessment and on premium tax revenues. Then the respective commissioners of commerce and revenue, based on that study, would set the revenue neutral assessment rate for MCHA and the tax rate under the premium tax to hold both the general fund and the health care access fund harmless, so that essentially the state would be collecting as much revenue as it was, as the actuarial study indicates it would have collected if the pool had not been created.
Representative Paulson, did you have a question on this?
Well, Mr. Chair, I was going to support the amendment. Actually, in Tax Committee, I offered a similar amendment on this actuarial study concept, and I think it's totally appropriate. So I would, it doesn't deal with, you know, still some of the questions on the bill that some have had, like the reserves and that sort of thing, but I would support the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, I made a commitment to the Tax Committee. Representative Paulson was there, and I want to thank him for that, that we would fix this up as we moved along the process, and I think this solved at least that issue for members.
Other questions on this? If not, then Representative Surge renews his motion, the A33 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Representative Surge, is that the only amendment I believe we have?
Mr. Chair, I believe so. Mr. Chair and members, there is a $4 million startup cost for this pool, and it falls within the budget resolution.
Ooh. Any questions? Representative McNamara? Sure. Representative McNamara first. Okay, did you... Wait, I'll flip a coin over there. Yeah? Okay. Representative... Swigum, did you win? Okay, Representative Swigum.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sturdy, in support of this bill, I think the last amendment was important. It was helpful from not making it whole, making equity in the system, making some fairness stuff. The other concern I have is the one that was briefly mentioned by Representative Paulson, and that is the appropriate amount of reserves to make sure that this thing works when you set it up. Department of Commerce or Economic Development, who was ever before the Finance Committee, suggested and recommended there could be a $150 million reserve for a grouping of this size, of 200,000 souls, I think you called it. Tell me, Representative Sturdy, what we're going to do to have this reserve set in such an appropriate way that you know, the risk is not there, that we don't have to worry about the risk falling back on taxpayers of Minnesota bailout at some time or another. Give me some assurance that we're going to move towards an appropriate reserve.
Representative Sturdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Swigum. If members look on page 3, lines 13 through 15, This talks about the board must include claims reserves, stabilization reserves, reinsurance, and other features. It's my assumption in working with the individuals in support of this bill as well that they would go from being basically using a vendor who would have reserves to being self-insured at some point or a combination in between along the way. So that vendor, I'm sure, would have the reserves as they're building up their own reserves to be self-insured.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sturgis, so that was the language, I think, in at least in finance was somewhat debated when there was an amendment offered for, I believe, actuarial soundness, I believe, before going forward with the plan. And yet you seem to be somewhat unsupportive of the actuarial soundness language. You seem to indicate that you were going to look at it or look into it further. That day, last Thursday, you were against it. It sure seemed like an appropriate amendment to me. In fact, I think I call it a no-brainer. Let's put it on. Have you looked into it any further?
Representative Sturgis.
Mr. Chair, looking at it and discussing with individuals, I know I have a disagreement with the Commissioner of Commerce on this. I believe that the language as it sits in lines 13 through 15 is sufficient in that area. I just am concerned about any commissioner, and I'm not even saying this of this administration, just in general, having the judgment call of actuarial soundness, where I don't believe that's in statute. That would just mean more of a judgment call in one person. I think the language as it is in the bill is sufficient at this time.
Representative McNamara, did you have one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And paper beats rock, so I guess I'm second. Representative Sturgis, apologize. This is the first time I've seen the bill, I believe, this year for sure, and I don't know if I've ever heard testimony before in committee or not. Mm-hmm. If I have, I don't remember. My question is just a basic one. Why would we create this pool? Why wouldn't we have these folks just join our state plan? Do they do that in other states? And honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But it just seems that it would make more sense to have them just to offer the opportunity to be in part of what we have.
Representative Sturgis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McNamara, I think that's a great question. From what I have heard from actually, Commissioner Ludeman, at the time when he was a commissioner in and around this area, looked into that as well. And there were two issues. There was a fiscal issue to doing that, which is a smaller number. But then the other piece of this is there is a law where a de minimis number, and I'm used to hearing that when I'm talking about environment and ditches and stuff, but a de minimis number to put all of these folks into the pool is illegal in some way. You can't overload the system. You'd be talking about putting in 200,000 lives or souls into a state system that has 120,000, and it's against the law to do that at this point.
Representative McNamara, I think it's against the federal.
Yes, it's against the ERISA law, Mr. Chair.
The ERISA. Yep. Not just the state law.
Mr. Chair, you're great at anticipating, because I was going to say I thought we're here to pass the laws, and so I was going to ask. But it's federal law that it would be.
Representative McNamara, that's my understanding, but a little I know about this and hearing it on the other committees, because I think your question is very appropriate. Any other question or questions at all? If not, then Representative Sturgis renews his motion. I'm sorry, Representative Conn, I didn't see you. I'm sorry. Representative
Conn. I keep asking the question, and maybe is that the de minimis argument? I keep asking the question about why it has to be why everyone has to go in. And we're dealing with the argument that you need a larger pool, and I totally agree with that, for, you know, in order to deal with risk and in order to not get rid of this awful problem where small school district can have one bad case and throw their rates off forever. But why isn't there, and, you know, why can't make the argument that you do need a certain number of districts in there, but you don't need all of them. You don't need the larger districts or the larger service cooperatives and so forth could do just as well by themselves. And in fact, and I don't know if this actuarial study will get to that too, in fact, if you put some like the Minneapolis School District, which is opposed to being forced into this bill, has actually a population, because of the age of teachers and so forth, that's actually more at risk than many other populations in the pool. And I would think, in some sense, that might be harmful to the pool, although the size of it, of course, is part of the attraction. When I've said at each level as this bill moves along, each level that I've seen it, I made this argument that I do believe you do need a large pool, but the question is, do you need an extra large, the gigantic pool? Do you need everyone in a pool? Or why won't it work with just either the people who want to do it or with an opt-out for the largest, for the districts who think they don't want to do it?
Representative Sertich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, first things first, this actuarial study will deal with the MCHA provision and not overall to make sure it's revenue neutral as far as MCHA and tax effects. To your second point, we have discussed this both publicly and privately, and I guess the concern is both ways. You're looking for a number, what the magic number is on the way up, and I guess I'm looking at it the other way, concerned about if there's a magic number when you take folks out of the pool. And I guess just having everybody in there allows for less spikes in the claims and when you have those cases.
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Church. I have the districts in my area don't want this. I surveyed the teachers in my district with an email survey, and I got about 25% back, which is pretty high, with a lot of comments. And fewer than 10 people who responded back to me want this. So it's obviously something that's very that they're very interested in not being a part of. When you talk about the availability of an opt-out or a jump-out, and you talk about variabilities and spikes, is there any studies that you did that looked at specifically a mass of folks getting out of the pool that would essentially get it to a tipping point, or was it just kind of a judgment call, all in or all out?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Dean. I don't believe there is anywhere where we know if there's a magic tipping point there. I do know for some programs in other states, New Jersey comes to mind, where they did have an opt-out or an opt-in. You know, it's kind of self-selected. The folks that are in rougher shape stay in the pool, and it kind of goes into a death spiral, and that's the fear in all of it. But I would not know if there was a tipping point anywhere. The other piece that I've looked at is the Durenberger Healthcare Commission, which demonstrated larger pools help significantly or more effective for getting rid of the spikes. Or not getting rid of them, I should say, but minimizing the spikes.
Representative Dean, follow up?
No, I just asked for a roll call.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Representative Byner?
I hadn't really planned on testifying, Mr. Chair, but just to comment on the pool size, I do believe that there's evidence across the country that larger isn't necessarily better, that mid-sized pools, flexibility in pools are best achieved at a mid-sized level, and larger pools are sometimes more difficult to manage and more cumbersome and less stable. So there is some written material on that I could produce at another time, but just because Representative Kahn raised it, you know, obviously I'm also from a district that would prefer not to be in this pool, so that's an issue for me.
Okay. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had one quick follow-up for Representative Sertich. I understand it's a federal law so how do the bigger states do that? They must have more state employees in California. So the federal law, there's no states that school teachers are in the same plan or janitors of the school employees are in the plan? Because I was under the understanding some states did have that in the same plan. Is that not true?
Representative McNamara, if I can take a stab at that, I think in some states the teachers themselves are state employees. I think that's part of it. I don't know. But there may be also have... We've had an exemption to that. But other questions? Representative McNamara, my little bit of knowledge may be all wrong on that, too. Keep that in mind. Okay. We're all ready to vote. Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Solberg?
Yes.
Abler? Breinart?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Clark?
Yes.
Dean?
No.
Eakin?
Yes.
Earhart?
No.
Greiling? Gunther?
Yes.
Hillstrom?
Yes.
Hilke?
Yes.
Holberg.
No.
Huntley.
Yes.
Kahn.
No.
Kelleher.
Yes.
Lencheski.
Yes.
Mariani.
Yes.
McNamara.
No.
Murphy Aaron.
Yes.
Murphy Mary.
Yes.
Osmond.
Yes.
Paulson.
No.
Pulowski.
Yes.
Sertich.
Yes.
Smith.
No.
Swigum.
Yes.
Swales.
Yes.
Schumper.
Yes.
There being 19 yes, A's, and 8 nays, the bill is passed and referred, as amended, referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
The next bill on the agenda, members, is House File 1283. Representative Nelson. Hey, the chair would move that House File 1283 be recommended to pass and place on the General Register. Representative Nelson, there is an amendment in the packet. Do you want us to deal with that first?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like, if you could move the amendment. What this does is, on page 8 of the bill, the appropriations part deletes that, puts this money not in the general fund, but in the construction code fund, and funds the program out of that. So it takes it out of the general fund.
So the chair will move the amendment titled H1283A8. We've explained it. Any questions on the amendment? Questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Representative Nelson, you want to explain your...
This is the independent contractor certification bill that I've been carrying to deal with the workers' misclassification. When they're misclassifying them as independent contractors, when they're truly employees, by applying for and getting the certificate, the individual would be exempt from paying workers' compensation, unemployment, and would be basically proving that he's an independent contractor and meets the current law with the 9 points that we have under unemployment and under workers' compensation, that they have to meet all 9 points to be considered independent contractor, otherwise they're employed. By filling out the certification, the affidavit that goes with it, they would then say that I am going to meet those 9 points, and when they recertify, they'd have to prove that, and that way anyone that doesn't have one of these certificates is an employee. They have to be treated by an employee, by the person that they're working for, and therefore, taxes would be taken out, unemployment would be paid on them, and workers' compensation would be paid for them.
Questions on the bill? Any questions? Members, in the packet, there's a fiscal note that's dated 5307. But there's a new one today. We had an update on it. It's identical. So we didn't put it in. It's available if you want the new dates. And it's in there. So, other questions? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Nelson, thanks for bringing this bill forward. It's good to deal with this issue. I have a question on page 3, line 13 and 14. The independent contractors, and I believe this is in the bill twice, if I'm not mistaken. It says that the only way the independent contractors, or maybe I'm not reading this right, does this say that they can only be paid on a per-job or commission basis? I'm thinking sometimes independent contractors work on an hourly basis. Would this not be allowed then?
Representative Nelson?
Again, that provision or that part, of, if you look back, I believe that's the same information that's on page 2, subdivision 5, what has to be on the application. That language, those 9 points, those are the current 9 points that are current law under in workers' compensation and unemployment. So that is not changing law. It's just moving it from workers' compensation and unemployment law into this new section of law. But that's existing law. And that's the way what's happening now should be happening. If they're an employee, if they're working on a per job or if they're working by hour on a per job basis, that would be the case. Then they'd be an independent contractor if they meet all the other parts of the independent contractor law.
if they're working, if they're not meeting the other nine, all the other 9 points, they would be considered an employee. And that's current law.
Other questions? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Nelson, they could be working by the hour. Is that what you're saying?
There could be a scenario where they could be. I'm going to hire you to do this job for me, and I'm going to pay you so much per hour that you work. You have to meet the other 9 points, so you control your own work. You get your own material. Let's do that again. That's what's current law.
Other questions? Other questions? If not, then the chair would remove his renew his motion. It's been a long day. I haven't talked very much. The chair would renew his motion at House File 1283 as amended. He recommended to pass and placed in the general registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. Okay. And the last one on the agenda today is House File 2293. Representative Osmond. And members, there's not a fiscal note in this particular one, but there is a slip of paper that's with us. And Representative Osmond, would you like to move the bill?
I'll move 2293.
Be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Okay, good. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the claims bill, claims committee. Looked at almost 100 claims this year, and we have a bill that's asking for $50,333.69. $49,953.69 will go to the Department of Corrections to cover their claims. There's $380 that will go to Department of Public Safety.
Excuse me just a second. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Representative Osmond.
There's a little sheet inside to kind of give you a breakdown, and I stand for questions. Mr. Lindeke may like to make some comments.
Yeah, welcome to the Ways and Means, Mr. Lindeke, and you probably want to give us a little bit of history of this particular bill in the past.
I'm Craig Lindeke from the Revisor's Office. I've been counsel to the subcommittee for about 14 years now. This is a very routine claims bill. It's mostly corrections claims, and we've had a few in the past where things have been taken out in this Ways and Means Committee or things have been added. We've had a couple vetoed by the governor in the past few years. But this is one I like to say that even Phil Krenke could vote for. But unfortunately, he won't be here to vote for it this year.
Well, Mr. Lindeke, we want to first of all thank you for your years of service. And my understanding, this is you're going to have some kind of an announcement.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm planning on retiring this summer. I've been here 30 years. That's a long time, and I've known a lot of you for a very long time, and gotten to enjoy all of you and watching the process. And so many of you are friends of mine now, and I think it's a wonderful thing. But 30 years, as it turns out, is long enough. I've reached the rule of 90. I can retire, so I think I will.
Well, I want to, first of all, on a personal note, say thank you to your years of service. You know, when we get tired and we finally get out of this place and make an agreement, we go home, even though we get a couple hours of sleep, the staff does not. And for the staff to put up with us year after year, no matter who's in charge, they serve the legislative and the people of Minnesota very well. And so, not only to you, but to all the staff, thank you for a job well done. And how you put up with us for 30 years is beyond me. So, but a job well done, and thank you very much. Any other?
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Representative Osmond, then? Would you like to renew your motion?
Chair, I'd like to renew the motion. House File 2293 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Members, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. And we'll stay tuned for the next.
Thank you, Donald.